This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The deal President Trump had been seeking with China has apparently been reached. ABC's Rachel Scott's traveling with him in South Korea.
The president walked out of this nearly two-hour-long meeting with Chinese President Xi to announce that a trade deal has been reached. The president had threatened 100% additional tariffs on Chinese imports, which would have raised the cost on everything from clothes to electronics.
China's agreed to buy more American soybeans as a part of the deal and to lower export controls on the rare earth minerals it sells to the U.S. Five more people are now in custody. That makes seven in all for the Louvre jewelry heist, but the jewels are still missing. There was a deadly barrage in Ukraine overnight. More than 600 drones and missiles fired from Russia all across the country. President Zelensky says many of them were shot down, but some did get through. At least 30 deaths across the Caribbean from Hurricane Melissa. And this is day 30 of the federal government shutdown. Government workers still not getting paid. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Healthcare could soon be more expensive here in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
People who buy health insurance through the healthcare.gov marketplace can qualify for what are essentially discounts on their insurance to make it more affordable. Those discounts are set to expire at the end of the year, which would make healthcare coverage more expensive for up to 42 million Americans. Here in Wisconsin, about 313,000 people have plans they bought on the marketplace, and 88% of those qualify for some sort of tax credit. On average, those tax credits save Wisconsinites $664 a month. But leaders say costs will surge for some people. Governor Tony Evers.
Middle-class family of four in Wausau see their premium more than double, going from $886 a month to over $2,300 a month. 60-year-old couple in Rice Lake, making about $85,000 a year, could see their premium rocket 800%. That's an annual increase of over $30,000 in costs.
And that's just for the premiums to have insurance before even thinking about things like filling prescriptions or going to the ER. Democrats in Congress say they will not agree to end the shutdown unless the tax credits will continue. Republicans have said they would consider extending the tax credits after reopening the government. Milwaukee Congresswoman Gwen Moore.
We're going to see families like this take some risks and simply drop their coverage and just cross their fingers and pray. Maybe we could just get by and show up in the emergency room if something really goes bad.
Data shows when healthcare systems, the government, and charities have to absorb the costs of the uninsured, prices go up for everyone. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
A big game for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee's 3-1 after beating the Knicks Tuesday night. Golden State at 4-1. College hoops. The Badgers men's team over the UW Platteville Pioneers, 69-53 in a charity exhibition game at the Kohl Center. NFL, Jordan Love named NFC Offensive Player of the Week after throwing 20 consecutive completions Sunday night. That tied a team record set by Brett Favre in 2007. Baseball, Blue Jays beating the Dodgers 6-1 in the World Series to go up 3-2. Trey Yesavage on the mound, striking out 12 batters, breaking a record for a rookie in the World Series since Sandy Koufax in 1963, who was sitting in the stands.
Historic stuff. That stage and his numbers, it's one thing to be in the zone, and it's another thing to be in the zone and get some swing and miss.
That's Blue Jays manager John Schneider with Sports on Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Partly to mostly cloudy today, our high right around 52 here this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy, chilly, our low dropping to around 33. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles possible and a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Busted pencils. Fully lettered education talk.
You know, one of those things. And speaking about AI, guess what I did? I used AI to prepare for the show today, Johnny. You know, of course I did. I got it together, put up a little outline. You know, the suggested title, AI, Apocalypse or Opportunity.
But well, you can guess what the AI thinks, Tim.
Yeah. Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts and at civicmedia.us.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:20, I'll be joined by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. We discuss his lawsuit, joining with numerous other attorneys general, to restore SNAP funding and make sure Americans don't go hungry.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Eagle 1490 AM.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Thursday morning, October 30th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Coming up, we will have an expert on Medicare Advantage plans. It might not be for you, but it might be for an aging parent who's considering one of these so-called Medicare Advantage plans as opposed to traditional Medicare. Oh, is there a difference? You might want to get a little educated on that. We're going to try to do that for you coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will talk about some new extensive polling through the Marquette poll. Not your usual horse race numbers about candidates, but more about what people in Wisconsin think about the issues. And at some point, we'll talk about the UW-Eau Claire College Republicans and a stunt they pulled, and just how sick I am of the feigned outrage when racist activity gets called out. You know, it used to be just your crazy uncle, or I'm sorry, your eccentric uncle, who would start everything with, "I'm not a racist, but," and then they'd go on and on and on. That seems to have infected a larger part of society. Like, oh, it's not racist to, you know, dress up as an ICE officer and then somebody else dresses up as a Mexican woman and you're arresting this person. There's nothing racist about that. Please tell me you don't really believe that. Anyway, 855-75-CIVIC is the number, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app as well. You can call us or text us. You can leave a voice note as well. And now, we've got new accounts on social media just dedicated to the show. So I will say that there are Civic Media, social media channels, you know, on Facebook and Twitter and all that. Up North News, of course, has a Facebook page. There's also, you know, again, Twitter and Instagram and all of that. But now just for this fine little radio show, we've created an account on Blue Sky for all the nice people that want to follow us. And we also create an account on what used to be Twitter X for people that just want to scream at each other or whatever it has become. In both cases, they have character limits on their names. So like you can go to Facebook and you can look up our show page there. Just look up Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. That's the name of the Facebook page, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. That doesn't all fit in Twitter or Blue Sky. So it's PK Radio Show. Again, PK for Pat Kreitlow, PK Radio Show. And that's how you find us on Blue Sky and Twitter, X, whatever it is, where we will put up show clips and invite you to interact with us there. But of course, you can just do it in the comment sections of Facebook and YouTube while you're watching the show. Or you can send us an email, if you're old-fashioned like that, radio, at upnorthnewswi.com. In sports, we had the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team, Parker, defeating Platteville, last tune-up before the regular season begins. 69-53 was the final. You were saying that the Badger men didn't look as dominant as you thought they might have going up against a Wyack school?
No, yeah. Platteville kind of gave them a little bit of a hard time at the first half or so. I do think it's probably worth pointing out, though, that it is not entirely unheard of for a Division III school to actually do like really well and beat Division I schools sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
That's probably not quite as true for a major team like the Badgers, but it certainly happens. You see it a lot, men's and women's basketball.
But Platteville, they're no schleps. I mean, they're capable of providing at least a little bit of a fight. And so I think when we refer to this as a final tune-up before the regular season, I think that's the right way to put it. They see this team and go, all right, well, before we take on fellow Division I teams like the Fighting Camels of Campbell University next Monday,
heck yeah,
we better get ourselves ready. So it looks like they finally did. And in the World Series, the Toronto Blue Jays beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 6-1 to lead the World Series 3-2. So the World Series goes back to Toronto for game 6 tomorrow, where Toronto could seal the deal. Or if the Dodgers win, there will be a deciding 7th game, I'm assuming on Saturday as well. And then that will wrap up the baseball season for 2025. Now we can get into anticipating 2026, which is part happiness and part which players are we going to lose?
Yeah.
To free agency and things like that.
Yeah. I don't remember who I read it from, but I read somebody say the other day that they like really think that the Brewers could be onto something and like really investing in the future right now and have a really good 5-year span coming up here.
I sure hope so. I don't want to hear, you know, the rebuilding thing, nobody rebuilds. You know, you either have the right people or you don't. And sometimes they're because of a heavy payroll with a lot of experience, and sometimes they're young and just really good because you did a good job of scouting. And hopefully that's where the Brewers are on that. But first, we got to get through the rest of the World Series Friday and perhaps Saturday as well. All right, there's a new Marquette poll out. And as you know, during the height of election campaigns, I tend to not get too worked up over polling because polling can be all over the place. A good reputable polling company works hard to have a representative sample, a good cross-section of the public. But even then, it's sometimes tough to match with how the results are going to turn out on election day. So I don't emphasize it as much there. But in this case, I mean, we are so far away from the election that it's a lot about familiarity with candidates and familiarity with issues that I thought some of these were interesting enough to share. The Marquette poll interviewed 846 Wisconsin registered voters from October 15th to the 22nd, and a margin of error of 4.5 percentage points. And I'm going to stop right there just to say this is how much polling has changed now from the olden days. In the olden days, you would do a poll in one night, and you would get that representative sample because everybody had landlines, everybody answered their phone. And, you know, a lot of people talk to that. Now nobody answers their phone if they don't know who it is. And that's why it took a week just to get 846 registered voters in Wisconsin to answer the phone and answer these poll questions. So the margin of error, 4.5 percentage points, seems a little broad, but that's kind of the nature of polling these days in the cell phone era. Anyway, this new poll finds that a large majority of both Democrats and Republicans have not decided on a favorite candidate for governor for next year. No big surprise. In fact, only 6% say they have heard a lot about the 2026 campaigns for governor. I would include every one of you listening right now. You're probably hearing more about the 2026 governor's race than almost anybody else, including some of the people who are running for governor. But you are familiar. You've heard all of these names that I'm going to be talking about. And as far as recognition goes, now this is recognition, not support. In terms of recognition, Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley is tops on the list at 26%. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez at 25%. State Representative Francesca Hong at 22%. State Senator Kelda Roy is at 17%. Now, these all make sense because they're from the Milwaukee or the Madison areas. Then you've got lawyer Missy Hughes at 16% and others lower than that. But now you ask them, well, do you have a favorite? Do you have a candidate you would vote for next August in the primary for governor? Well, among the Democratic voters, 81% said no. 4 out of 5 said no. we're practically a year away from the primary. What are we talking about? However, of those that do have a preference, well, if you get the emails from State Representative Francesca Hong, you've seen the subject line, Francesca Hong in first place in polling for governor at 6%, and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez at 4%, David Crowley at 3%, Senator Kelda Royce at 3%, Missy Hughes at 2%. But again, 81% are undecided. So if you're Francesca Hong, you take the little victories where you can because you have both recognition and support from people. And if you're some of those other candidates, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, State Senator Kelda Royce, you know that you got a little bit more work to do to build your recognition and build people who will actually commit to say, this is my person for next August. There will, of course, be a Wisconsin State Supreme Court race in April 1st next year, and the two candidates there have very little name recognition. There's Waukesha Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar, who has 15% name recognition, mostly among conservatives, I would imagine, and Madison Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, 16% public recognition, again, I would assume mostly by liberals and progressives. However, despite the lack of knowledge about the candidates, 7 out of 10 voters said they are absolutely certain to vote in April when that Supreme Court seat will be on the ballot. When people say, why do you love living in Wisconsin? Well, I mean, it's the fall colors, it's the lakes, it's all the sights, it's the cheese, it's the old fashions. But it's also the fact that we have people all around us who will tell you, I don't know much about the state Supreme Court race yet, but I know it's important enough that I'm going to vote. I'm going to learn about the candidates as we get closer to election, and I'm going to vote. That is a level of civic engagement that you do not find in all 50 states. And I love that about this state, that people actually do care. They care enough to want to learn about the issues and the candidates and go vote. They don't all do it, and I don't agree with all of them, but they at least take the time to do it. On national issues, will President Donald Trump's policies increase inflation? 57% say yes, while 30% say his policies will decrease inflation. Okay. And 12% say they'll have no impact. There are, of course, substantial partisan differences. 60% of Republicans say Trump's policies will decrease inflation, which again tells you there is a very broad and effective right-wing media bubble in this country. Meanwhile, obviously 96% of Democrats think his policies will increase inflation, but what about independents? 69%. 7 out of 10 independents look at what the president's doing and understand that it is increasing inflation. Now, Trump does have his supporters. There are 33% out there who say the tariffs will help the economy. 55% say it will hurt the economy. And once again, you've got a majority of independents who say, no, tariffs hurt the economy. Asked if tariffs are helping or hurting Wisconsin farmers, well, 16% say they are helping Wisconsin farmers. That is truly Donald Trump's base right there. The 16% who say that tariffs are helping the farmers. 62% understand that they are hurting farmers. Overall, voters are evenly divided over which party is most responsible for the shutdown of the federal government, which again tells you that right-wing messaging is effective. I'm not really happy with the wording of the response here by the Marquette poll people because they lead saying 33% say it's the Democrats, but it's 38% who say the Republicans. So I don't know why the Republicans weren't listed first. 38% Republican, 33% Democrat, 28% saying both parties are equally responsible. Now, at the heart of the shutdown, should the increased tax credits that help pay for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act marketplace be extended? 58% of respondents in Wisconsin say yes. It's basically a 60-40 split. Obviously, more Republicans believe the credits for health insurance should expire. These are also folks who have not yet had to go through what so many others have gone through and understand the importance of having these premium tax credits continue to keep health insurance affordable. We will talk more about the affordability of health insurance with an expert about Medicare Advantage plans coming up in 15 minutes. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 1944, when Franklin Roosevelt said he would run for a fourth term, discussions began on a constitutional amendment to limit a U.S. president to two terms in office. In 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified. Now, a Tennessee congressman wants to repeal it. Would it actually be possible for Donald Trump to be president again? January 23rd, Representative Andy Ogles introduced a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to provide that no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than three times. While the resolution received a lot of attention, constitutional amendments require a two-thirds majority in Congress and be ratified by three-quarters of the states, neither of which is likely. Trump himself has flirted with the idea of staying in the presidency. The Hill reported Trump told GOP leaders, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you do something. Unless you say, he's so good, we just have to figure it out." A recent Politico article explained another scenario where a loophole in the 22nd Amendment could allow another presidential candidate to run with Donald Trump as vice president. The new president would then step down, allowing Trump to become president again. A 1999 Minnesota Law Review article discusses this and other such vaguely legal maneuvers as well. Unlikely, yes. Out of the question, no. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's not just chilly, it's cold out there right now. 23 degrees up in Merrill right now, 25 here in the Chippewa Valley. La Crosse is at 36 degrees, Oshkosh here at 39 right now. It's 34 in Wausau. So while it's that cold out here, to remind you that hockey season is underway, and you can follow every game from the Wisconsin Badger men's hockey team. They are taking on the Minnesota Gophers tonight. Coverage begins at 7:30 on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And if memory serves, I believe Jimmy Cuska was telling us all about how Civic Media has recently expanded and has added some stations in the Michigan Upper Peninsula. So if you're up in the UP close to Ironwood, it turns out that WJMS in Ironwood is now a member of the Civic Media family, and they too will be covering all the Badger sports, including the Badger men's hockey game, come Thursday. Packers, by the way, play on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. That's a noon kickoff, so the pregame coverage begins at 10 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Wautoma, and Racine. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Well, as mentioned at UW-Eau Claire, the College Republicans recently put on a Halloween costume contest, which, again, it seems like every Halloween there's somebody that does, you know, something in blackface or something where they go, wait, what do you mean? Why? These are folks that watched way too much and listened to way too much Megyn Kelly. You know, the one who told you that, of course, Jesus Christ and Santa Claus are white men and don't see anything wrong with positions like that. Or costumes like the one that they posted on Instagram of one student dressed as an ICE agent and is seen arresting a woman dressed as a stereotypical Latino immigrant with handcuffing her with her hands behind her back. Needless to say that there are people upset about trivializing what has really turned out to be a series of unlawful arrests and detentions and conduct that is way beyond the scope of typical law enforcement in terms of arresting people without cause, without warrants, arresting them violently, without cause, arresting citizens, detaining them, racial profiling. None of these things should be celebrated. But of course, they are being celebrated by a certain faction of the population. And that's a little unfortunate. UW-Eau Claire, unfortunately, put out a rather vanilla statement saying UW-Eau Claire is aware of the incident that occurred Monday evening that involved Halloween costumes worn by individuals at a student organization meeting on campus. The event was not organized by the university. Yeah, we know. We're not expecting that the university instructed the college Republicans to engage in, you know, race baiting photographs. You could still condemn it just the same. But, you know, to be fair, I'll read you the statement from Fred Kappas, chair of the Eau Claire County Republican Party, who called it feigned outrage. He said, "What I saw and experienced was this group of responsible college students having a good time. There was no hateful and unsafe rhetoric displayed by the college Republicans." He says the motivation by Democrats, of course, is to smear, besmirch, and portray these conservative students as racists. A typical Democrat tactic. Your feigned outrage is very transparent. Here's the thing. You can feign outrage at being accused of racism. It doesn't make the look any better for the things that you engage in. Look, if you want to celebrate what people in your political party are doing, if you want to wave, like at the convention last year, if you want to all wave the same sign that says mass deportations now, that's your prerogative. It's also the prerogative of pretty much every other right-thinking American to look at thousands of people waving signs that say mass deportations now and say, we got a race problem in this country, a racism problem in this country, that we're looking to just racially profile people and mock them with Halloween costumes as well. Because again, it was the people waving the sign saying mass deportations now that have told us the problem is border security and the problem is the immigration system, to which everybody else, independents, Democrats, said, yeah, let's fix that. Let's fix this problem because we actually need and value immigrants in this country. Our economy needs immigrant labor. Our future needs immigrant labor as the baby boomers continue to exit the stage. And y'all said no. Said no, we don't want to fix immigration. We want to round up as many brown-skinned people as we can. Now, in the beginning, we're going to tell you that it's all about getting the terrorists and getting the narco dealers and getting the fentanyl. But once again, we're going after Maria from housekeeping and we're going to celebrate that. And, you know, maybe she's got kids who were born in this country and we're still going to ship them out of the country despite them being citizens. You can celebrate that all you want, but the record is clear. We could have fixed the system and you said no. You elected somebody who vowed not to fix the system, who is moving all kinds of our tax dollars away from fighting violent crime to simply rounding up people based on race and skin color and either harassing them, detaining them, and even sending them out of the country, not necessarily to the country where they came from, which in and of itself is cruel and barbaric. So if folks get a little unhappy that you decide to celebrate that with a little bit of a racist play with Halloween costumes, you'll have to understand that maybe you can go back to, you know, some other kinds of ghosts and goblins and skeletons and the things that are a bit more traditional toward Halloween. You can keep your race baiting politics out of this, please. When we come back, we're going to talk about Medicare Advantage plans and what people need to know if they're looking for plans for themselves or if they're caregivers or adult children for aging parents. That's coming up. And then in our next hour, Sean O'Malley, Joe Sopecki, Chad Holmes, and more. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
28 days and counting. That's how long the federal government has been shut down, tying up not only federal agencies like the U.S. Department of Agriculture, but also policy advancement like a new farm bill. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. The National Farmers Union thinks that the farm bill can cross the finish line yet this year. Details on that next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Wisconsin native Mike Strands is the vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union. Their focus right now is on key policy priorities, including the urgent need for a new farm bill. Strands, who's vice president of advocacy, says several critical policy issues are still unresolved, and the organization right now working to make sure producers' voices are heard.
Given the circumstances with the farm economy, that yes, there should be some sort of assistance provided to family farmers and ranchers because of the trade disruptions, but that ought to be part of a greater picture about farm policy reform and farm policy improvements that could happen through a farm bill negotiation that might happen here this fall. We've heard Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, G.T. Thompson, speak about his interest in having a farm bill markup on the House side. I think moving forward with something like that is a great opportunity to make some of these changes, and we ought to take a look at the whole picture.
That's Wisconsin native Mike Strands, who is the vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union. He says given the fact that the farm bill has expired already, it's the third year in a row where that's happened to the farm bill. He believes that there's an opportunity by the end of this year or early in 2026 to still get something done on the rest of the farm bill.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill? Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
And 10 Wisconsin FFA members are continuing in competition at the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. They are now a part of the final phase of evaluation for National Agricultural Proficiency Awards. You want to follow along? FFA.org has the latest update. There's your look at food news. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Partly to mostly cloudy today, our high right around 52 here this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy, chilly, our low dropping to around 33. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles possible and a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Matt and Air on Air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of Civic Media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via text, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Boardlord, and Dan, along with the rest of Civic Media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if only our cattle producers knew as much about cattle as that famous rancher Donald Trump. We talk to Wisconsin farmer Hans Breitenmoser about Argentinian beef.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back at 7:35 on this Thursday. Remember, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. In today's edition, it includes more of your favorite photos of Halloween decorations. We talk about your favorite Halloween candy. There's also a link where you can help with food banks that need to stock their shelves with SNAP benefits running dry during the government shutdown. And there's an article there today on Wisconsin farms where you can spend the night as part of agritourism. Again, for that and more, subscribe to our newsletters. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more about the weekday newsletters and our weekend newsletter as well. All right, let's talk healthcare policy. Okay, I heard everybody going for the radio dial. Don't do that yet. When we talk about healthcare policy, making sure that you can afford to get sick, we want to make sure we draw a distinction of what we're talking about here. Medicare, which is for seniors by and large, versus the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, which is the health insurance coverage that you can buy through the marketplace. That's kind of at the heart of the government shutdown. And we've covered that before, and we'll come back to it. But this is primarily about Medicare. So there is also an open enrollment period going on right now for Medicare, especially for people who, instead of being part of original Medicare, want to purchase health insurance through a private insurance company through something called Medicare Advantage, which says it covers a few more things, and it might, but there are also other things to be mindful of when you're comparing these Medicare Advantage plans to traditional Medicare, either for yourself or maybe for an aging parent or somebody that you're a caregiver for. And this time of year, there's always people who are either choosing a plan for the first time or they've been on a plan and that plan is being dropped or modified and they want to compare plans again. And they don't want to get ripped off in the process because there are also scammers out there. And so to that end, we wanted to find somebody that could tell us about, the best way to go about all of these things. And that's where we found Ingrid Cunninger, who is a fraud and abuse programs manager for the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources, and also something called the Senior Medicare Patrol. And she joins us this morning. Ingrid, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you here to talk more about this, because it can be, so very confusing. You know this firsthand. I hesitate to wonder how many people have just given you that look like, just please help me pick something. It is so convoluted. So let's start at the very beginning here before we can get into Medicare Advantage. Do you want to add anything to my distinction between original Medicare versus these Medicare Advantage plans?
No, I think you did a great job of outlining that. It's really important for people to understand that they do have a choice and there is a difference. Oftentimes when we're talking to people who are already enrolled in either original Medicare or have a Medicare Advantage plan, they're not even really sure what plan they chose or what's going on. Just like you said, it's complex. There's a lot of ins and outs about that, and it's not always easy to understand. So it's just really important for people to take the time to learn more about all of their options. And right now is a great time to do that.
And people who are first eligible for Medicare, they hear about, traditional Medicare or original Medicare, and there's a lot that it covers, but there are also significant things that it doesn't cover because, like prescription drugs, there are a lot more prescription drugs now than there were 60 years ago when this all first got started, when prescription drug costs, they weren't nearly the same concern 60 years ago, were they?
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. There are definitely a lot more medications as well as diagnoses that people have that require additional treatment and therapies that, you know, Medicare, original Medicare or traditional Medicare may or may not cover.
And so that's what led to the creation of Medicare Part D to help cover these things. But there was also then the creation of, you know, so-called Medicare Advantage for these private insurance companies to bring plans in. What are the kinds of things, you know, on the pro side of the ledger, what are the things that they tout as reasons why you might pick a Medicare Advantage policy over original Medicare?
Sure. I think some of the things that they tout are things that you mentioned. You know, Medicare, original Medicare doesn't cover certain things, and Medicare Advantage plans, because they're able to privatize that, are able to offer additional benefits. So oftentimes, you know, dental insurance might be an additional benefit in a Medicare Advantage plan, or hearing aids, you know, those sorts of things that impact older adults or that older adults are often looking for or needing assistance with. And sometimes those Medicare Advantage plans do offer those additional benefits.
Yeah, there's vision. There's sometimes, you know, discounts for, you know, fitness programs and gym memberships. I mean, there's a lot of commercials out there on the TV this time of year, Ingrid, touting all the things that make their plans, you know, so wonderful and so worthy of choosing. But of course, what they're not going to put in the commercials is that, you know, there's also on the other side of the ledger, there may be certain, you know, restrictions. What are the things that people should be most cautious of or do their homework about when it comes to the things they don't talk about on the TV commercials?
Absolutely. We always say if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So as all of these television commercials are touting all of these great benefits, there's also teeny tiny fine print scrolling at the bottom that outlines a lot of things that aren't covered or outlines additional eligibility requirements that people might not be aware of while they're considering that plan. So it is really important to read the fine print or get more information about those plans that kind of pique your interest or seem to have some benefits that you think would be beneficial to you and your healthcare in the coming year. And just to be really careful about those things, because oftentimes people don't read the fine print or don't realize that. And if you're working with, you know, a large insurance broker from who knows where, not anyone local, they may or may not have your best interest in mind. And they may not point out to you that you'll have to choose a different network of doctors, or the medications that you're currently taking won't be covered or will be more expensive to you in the coming year. And oftentimes people don't realize that until they go to the doctor for the first time in the next year, or go to the pharmacy to get prescriptions refilled, and suddenly are stuck with bills that they weren't anticipating and hadn't planned to have to pay.
We are talking to Ingrid Cunninger from the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources and the Senior Medicare Patrol. And I'm going to sound like such a weirdo here. Ask 100 other people what was the news story that most shocked them this year, and they'll tell you a lot of the usual suspects. But for me, it was this story that I saw a few months back. The amount of senior citizen medical debt is soaring. And that doesn't make sense at first blush, because you think, well, wait, Medicare, I paid my taxes all my life. I've got Medicare. It's going to cover things. I'm going to get a Part D drug plan, and that's going to cover most of the things. How can this be? And you read deeper into the article, and it's all kinds of folks on these Medicare Advantage plans who, between the deductibles and the copay, or deciding to go without because of previous denials of care, they're suddenly racking up all this Medicare or medical debt. That is extremely shocking to me to see that happen to the senior citizens of the United States. So to me, it was just a very cautionary tale, not only to pay attention to what the private health insurance companies are saying, but also I would assume the potential for scammers and others who want to take advantage of people in the system as well. And as the fraud and abuse programs manager, that's something I'm sure you're watching closer than anybody else.
Absolutely. The amount of Medicare-related fraud, errors, and abuse is astounding. With the Senior Medicare Patrol, we focus primarily on educating Medicare beneficiaries as well as their advocates about how they can protect themselves from Medicare-related fraud and scams, as well as how they can detect and report that. And the estimate right now is between $60 and $100 billion per year is just frauded the Medicare system. So to answer your question, absolutely. There are a lot of bad actors out there looking to take advantage not only of older adults, but of a program that older adults really rely on to provide their health insurance coverage.
How did the scammers tend to do this? Is it like a phone thing where they're calling people and making some kind of a hard sell on them?
Yeah, primarily the scammers do operate via telephone, and there's a couple of different ways that they do that. The first thing is that they're looking for people's Medicare numbers. So they may call and say that they're calling on behalf of Medicare, and they just want to make sure that you've received your new Medicare card. Well, if you didn't receive a new Medicare card recently, you might be caught off guard and think, I didn't know I needed one. And then that person on the phone is going to be so happy that they called you today because they're going to be able to take care of that. They just need to, here comes the catch, verify that information, and they'll go ahead and get that new Medicare card issued. Well, here's the thing. There's not a new Medicare card. So, and Medicare is not calling people. So that's something for people to remember. Not a new Medicare card. Medicare is not going to call you. So what happens then is that the people that have gotten that Medicare number share it with other Medicare suppliers or equipment suppliers, anyone who's willing to make suspicious or fraudulent claims to Medicare on your behalf. So then what happens is that you receive your Medicare summary notice and you notice that Medicare has paid thousands of dollars for orthotic braces or catheter supplies, a bunch of things that you didn't receive, were not ordered by your healthcare provider, and now Medicare has made payment for. And that's where the billions and billions of dollars rack up.
We are talking to Ingrid Cunninger from the Senior Medicare Patrol. Senior Medicare Patrol, smpwi.org is the website. And you've got some articles in there about how this is really the time to double check your plan, even if you're happy with it, so that you can compare, you know, apples to apples. So between that website, smpwi.org for Senior Medicare Patrol, Wisconsin.org, and medicare.gov, how important is it to be proactive rather than wait for somebody to ring your phone?
It's very important to be proactive. And as you mentioned earlier, this is right now, we are in Medicare's open enrollment period. So every year between October 15th and December 7th, Medicare beneficiaries have the opportunity to, as you said, review their plans for this year, see what changes their plan might have in the works for next year, and then look at other options. That's a great benefit that people have the opportunity right now to review plans and see if there might be something out there that is more beneficial to you. Maybe there's additional benefits. Maybe the cost is different. Maybe your health situation has changed and you need more coverage or less coverage. And so now is a great time to do that. And I would really encourage people to, I know I said it goes until December 7th, but don't wait until December 7th, especially if you're looking to connect with some of the unbiased resources that might be available in your community to kind of help you sift through all those things. They get really busy right now with helping other people. So please don't wait. And if you do get a phone call and someone is starting to pressure you about making a decision right now or offering extra benefits, if you sign up today on the phone, take a deep breath, hang up the phone, and find someone who can help you not feel pressured into making those decisions. Because that's a big decision to make. And you want to make sure that you've, you know, done your research, asked the questions that you wanted to ask, and feel confident, not pressured in the choice that you make for your healthcare coverage for next year.
Ingrid Cunninger is the Fraud and Abuse Programs Manager for the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources and the Senior Medicare Patrol. Ingrid, thank you so much for all this valuable information. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Still ahead, we're going to be talking to Sean O'Malley about a potential big bubble in the markets all around artificial intelligence. Stick around for that. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is your favorite or least favorite word? Cinnamon. Love that word. And it's a superfood. I don't like the word buttress just because I'm immature. Pecan.
My favorite word is scoundrel. I would also say buttocks.
I said buttress and you said buttocks. John in Madison says words with silent letters bug me too. Pneumonia. Dumb. Funny because my name is John.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Also in the Up North News daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com, a link to this article from our website. Robert Kennedy Jr. ignores more than 100 studies to push an abortion pill ban. This is the mifepristone explainer you need. Again, that's in our newsletter and on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Let's turn now to James Kelly over in our newsroom here in the Chippewa Valley for Civic Media, talking about the stories that he is following for us this week. James, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, good. Let's see. We're starting with hunting season and bear hunting. And that is something that neither you nor I can claim to be.
I'm definitely not a bear hunter.
No, like I said,
I might be hunted by bears someday, but never a hunter.
Some days, you could get that feeling out there, but no, bear hunting season is going on. And so what are some of the latest numbers here?
Yeah, the Department of Natural Resources released their preliminary results for this bear hunting season. It was a 35-day season. The Northwest Wisconsin usually does have the highest numbers out of the bear season. This year, the Northern Wisconsin hunting zone A was the only zone that actually exceeded its harvest target quota. A little bit of a down year this year. In hunting zone D, they fell about 200 bears short. That's more Western Wisconsin than Northern Wisconsin. Overall, a much more disappointing bear hunting season than last year, where they saw almost 4,300 bears harvested. This year it was under 3,800, which is also the 5-year average.
Okay. And we've certainly talked about the pursuit of cleaner and greener energy generation in Wisconsin. And there's some news to report from Dunn County.
Yeah, the Dunn Energy Cooperative held a ribbon-cutting ceremony for a new solar array project this week. It's a small project, but it is their fourth one that they've done. So they are kind of adding these. This is a 15-acre project with solar panels, about 5,200. So they're adding a lot of these smaller areas with solar panels to kind of diversify the energy production in the region. It's only going to produce about 2.5 megawatts of power, which is 5 million kilowatts of the 220 million kilowatts that they offer for Dunn County residents. But it is going to be around for 30 years. So this is going to be a long-term project. There's probably going to be a little bit of upkeep on it, but it's not a huge footprint. It's not a huge inconvenience for farmers or anything, and just kind of a good way to diversify your energy production.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Diversity is, you know, a diverse portfolio of energy sources is a good thing, something that we've been pursuing in the state for a long time, and certainly now on the local level as well. We are coming up on the 50th anniversary of a milestone tragedy in the Great Lakes, and it's going to be commemorated up north coming up this weekend.
Yeah, the Edmund Fitzgerald sunk 50 years ago as of, what is it, November 10th? This yep. weekend, there's going to be a dedication ceremony for a new statue along Lake Superior. It's in the town of Washburn, not the county, the town. And it's an interesting project. It's a pretty big statue, but all of the statue is made up of things that are significant to the shipwreck itself. The base of the tower is part of the Ashland ore dock. And at the top, there's a working weather vane that's going to be shaped like the Edmund Fitzgerald. And there's taconite pellets involved in there, too, which is actually the cargo that the ship was carrying when it sunk.
Okay. Yeah, there's going to be a lot to be said about this over the next couple of weeks. I can definitely see us replaying our interview with Tom Nelson, who has written a book about the 50th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And so now there will be this statue up there as well. A lot to be said about, again, just a terrible tragedy. And as we've learned from Tom Nelson's book, we've learned a bit more about, you know, the possible causes of this huge freighter breaking up and sinking during a storm on Lake Superior. Definitely something that we'll be wanting to talk about for such a big anniversary celebration.
Yeah, so that'll be at the Washburn Marina on Saturday. And there's also going to be some statements read from crew names and statements from family members and the community overall. It is, you know, a pretty significant occurrence, and 50 years is a pretty significant milestone. So everyone's going to be out for this one.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, so Tony writes in on YouTube, and he knows that I've occasionally, you mentioned that Washburn is not in Washburn County. And Wisconsin has a lot of those. And yep. Tony very quickly put together a list. The town of Washburn is not in Washburn County. It's in Bayfield County.
Yep.
The town of Adams is not in Adams County. It's in Jackson County. The town of Jackson is not in Jackson County. It's in Washington County. The town of Grant is not in Grant County. There's a town of Grant in Portage County and in Dunn County. There's the town of Douglas. That's not in Douglas County. That's located in Marquette County. Let's see. There's the town of Polk, which is not in Polk County. It's in Washington County. The town of Lincoln, not in Lincoln County. Believe it or not, it's located in Trempealeau County. And finally, there's the town of Monroe, not in Monroe County. It's in Greene County.
No, you could live your whole life here and not really get that whole geographical sense. If you think you're talking about one place, you're actually talking about another place. It's perfectly non-confusing.
Perfectly, yes. I mean, we always, when people move here to cover news or anything else, we talk about the pronunciation conundrum that comes up with some place names. But this is another one of them, thinking that, oh, well, if I'm going to, Washburn, I'm clearly going to Washburn County. No, you're not.
So. Oh, yeah. I listened to a lot of local news reports when I first moved here, trying to make sure I get all the pronunciations right, because there's nothing worse than showing up to an event out in public and someone's like, oh, by the way, you mispronounced the name of this town you cover. Everybody knows you're not from here now.
Or Governor Tony Evers or something like that. Yeah, it's tough to be an instant local, but we're working on it. And with James, you can follow what he's doing for us in the Chippewa Valley at 93.5 The Tap. That's WCFW HD2 in the Chippewa Valley, or on the Civic Media app. And to see some of the current headlines and weather and upcoming local sports, head over to the station's website, thetap.fm. That's thetap.fm. Or just go to civicmedia.us. Click through the stations. And when you click on the station, it'll take you right there to the station homepage where you see some of the news that James Kelly is putting together.
And
James,
let me know if I mispronounce anything.
Yes, absolutely. We want to know that. We want to get better all the time. Present company included, believe me. All right, James, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Coming up, Chad Holmes will be here from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. Sean O'Malley on your money in the markets. And Joe Zepecki and Todd Alba all in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Improving relations between the world's two largest economies could drive trading on Wall Street down today. ABC's Rachel Scott traveling with President Trump for his first big meeting in South Korea overnight.
The president's entire trip here in Asia was building to this high-stakes moment, this face-to-face meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi. After months of going tit-for-tat on trade, the president announcing a one-year truce.
The Dow futures are down 200 points. President also saying nuclear weapons testing will resume for the first time in three decades, saying that the only thing that will put the U.S. on an equal basis with Russia and China is that. One thing not resolved in talks with China, issues related to TikTok's ownership. Haiti, Jamaica, Cuba picking up the pieces after Hurricane Melissa's destruction. There were at least 30 deaths across the Caribbean. This is day 30 of the government shutdown, with federal food assistance benefits set to expire on Saturday. This is ABC News.